I don't think I'm supposed to shout with COVID. You know, I was never really a shouting preacher anyhow, but every once in a while it'll happen. All right. Let's pray again. Father, as we look into your word, move, we pray, in our hearts and minds. Help us. Speak to us. Let the wonder of your new life breathe into us afresh, lift us to places that we've never been in understanding of your truth. Bless your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So do you ever read a book and have to take a look at how it ends before you ever get there? I mean, it depends. Some of us do that, and then you just kind of like to see how the story works out. Some of us won't do it, but it's not a bad thing, especially when it comes to the Bible. We're going to do that for a moment this morning, just a peek, but with an election coming up, we need this reminder not to put our hope in politicians. We need Jesus. And so we come to our scripture passage for the day from the 19th chapter of the Revelation, verses 6 through 9. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts," excuse me, "of God's holy people." Then the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." Jarek, I'd asked you to play a piece for communion. Can you go ahead and play some of that now? I'm kind of catching you off guard, but I'm going to ask Jarek to play again while we read through this. I'm going to take another drink of water. I have fall allergies that make me cough. It's always been that way. No worries. I passed the temperature check coming in, but... Anyhow, let's read this again and take that to heart as Jarek plays for a moment. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. Thank you, Jerry. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice, be glad. Think about that for a moment. This is a great multitude. It sounds like the roar of rushing waters, loud peals of thunder. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad. Imagine that. John is sharing the vision God has given him of the end of the story of human history and the beginning of the greatest adventure of all. And in the ninth verse, he shares the words of what is described in the previous chapter as a mighty angel who tells him, write this, blessed, or happy, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And then he added, these are the true words of God. So John is saying, I'm not writing this. This isn't just something an angel is saying. The angel is telling me these are the true words of God. Think about that for a moment. Let your mind scan over that whole vision. Oh, I want to be there. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad. Imagine. Jesus talked about this banquet in a parable in Matthew 22. And there he makes clear that it's only those who are wearing the wedding garments who are truly invited. And so verse 8 tells us about the church, the bride of Christ. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And then John adds, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. So put those both together. Matthew 22, where you're given the wedding garments, and then here in the Revelation, where fine linen is given, but it's also, it stands for, it represents the righteous acts of God's holy people. And you have something interesting. You have something that's given us whatever righteousness we have, but also something that is required to be acted upon. Something that we must live. So if we have received Jesus, if we have responded to his invitation, then we have to prepare ourselves by the way we live. And it is indeed that preparing ourselves that shows that we have truly received what he offers us. The church I served in when we lived in Oklahoma several years ago had a very nice member by the name of Don Moody. But after a while, I noticed that some of his closest friends actually didn't call him Don sometimes. They affectionately referred to him by another name. Don had a swimming pool at his house, and he liked to swim, well, let's just say, au naturel. And one day when Don was apparently doing his laps, a couple of the ladies from the church were dropping off a Bible study book for his wife, and they didn't want to leave it there at the front door, so they went around to the back, and the nickname Nudie Moody stayed with him ever since. And I mention this because it brings us back to Jesus again. He knows us just as we are. But he clothes us with his righteousness. Think of Isaiah when he writes, woe is me, for I am undone. God sees us, sees through every motive, knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet Jesus comes and loves us and offers us his righteousness, his love. So Paul writes in Romans 13:14 that we are to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:9 tells us, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgives you. And over all these virtues, and here it refers to clothing again, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. So it's this love that is put on us, but that is also is expressed from within us. And it all comes back to Him. The only way you and I can be clothed for the kingdom is to hide behind Jesus, is to run to Him and let Him be our all. I've told you before about a quip that my son has. Sometimes when we're having a conversation and, I might say something too quickly, he'll say, "Did you run that by Jesus first?" And, of course, I've learned now to use that on him, but the truth is that applies to so much of life, doesn't it? Did you run that by Jesus first? Because it's amazing how just running it by Him first, wow. You know, think about that temptation that you just can't get over. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know, people like to misquote Scripture and say that God will not allow you to go more through more than you can bear. That's what they interpret a particular verse to mean. God will not allow you to go through more than you can bear, but Scripture doesn't say that. Actually, Scripture shows God's people going through more than they can bear again and again and again. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "I asked 3 times for my thorn in the flesh to be taken away." But he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in what? Weakness." But it is specifically in this area of temptation that Scripture says God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. And, you know, you bring Jesus into that moment of temptation and all the difference it makes. And that applies in so much of life where we have that choice to either walk with God or just kind of, you know, the old Fleetwood Mac, "I'll go my own way" sort of thing. He will give us the strength we need to live for Him. That's why verse 6 and 7 read, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready.'" Now, we could never get there on our own, no matter how hard we try. But we must make ourselves ready. When Isaiah writes, "All of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away." What an apt, beautiful description that is of the human condition. But we give God the glory because He changes us. Our part is to stay close. Our part is to yield. Our part is to share Him with others humbly but joyfully. Again, come back to that question we looked at earlier. Where would I be without Jesus? Just think about those who are living only for this life. what help do they have when a crisis comes? When they do not have his peace? What do they have when everything they've lived for comes to a full stop and then starts to slip away? Isn't that the reality of 2020? OMG, I'm going to die someday. But we live in that place of denial. That's the modus operandi for our lives so much of the time. And how different that is from being plugged into the very source of life. This is where we have to come back to again and again. The eternal life that Jesus gives us, the eternal life that we see in the Revelation, starts here, starts now, flows into us. I'm going to pray right now for Frank Goy. That is a man who's calling me from Durham County Jail. Lord, we pray for Frank. I have tried to share you with him for years. Please help him to know you and love you. Frank's exhibit A of a person like that. Many, many gifts, many struggles. But oh, without the peace of Jesus, Jesus helps us. The Lamb of God has given us his invitation, and we must share it humbly and gently. But this marriage supper of the Lamb, who would you like sitting beside you there? Think about it. And pray for those ones. And know that part of your white linen is to do whatever you can to make him known to them. To love them. And point them to him. We would never want them to miss out on all that he is. I mean, in this life, certainly. But think about eternity. His hope, his peace, his joy. The new identity he gives. Our salvation. We may weep when we think of others who do not know that, and so we should. But take that emotion and turn it into prayer, because the Lord knows, and your prayers are so vital, so vital. Remember his word, blessed, happy are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. These are the true words of God. You and I, by the grace of God, will sit at that table one day and look back and be able to see the choices we made. And how much they contribute. And it is his righteousness. But at the same time, you and I don't understand how all of this works. You may be sitting there in a tuxedo and wonder, why is my pastor sitting here in a tank top? That's a joke. But it's no joke. Because what could matter more? What could matter more than just knowing Jesus and knowing His love? Knowing it now. Knowing it then. Speaking His love into the lives of those around us. Blessed, happy are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Preparations have already been made. The table has been set. The time? Oh, it could be any time. May we pray. Lord, give us a vision of that day. A vision filled with Your Spirit and with Your love. And propel us from that vision into the lives of others through Your Spirit, that they too may be blessed and receive Your invitation to come. Help us, Lord, in our righteous acts. We realize it's not us. But we want to be like You. And we realize that is Your Spirit at work within us. But You are drawing us and wooing us, and You love us. And there are those we love so much we could not bear for them not to be with You. So give us Your words, give us Your wisdom, but most of all, Lord, send Your Spirit ahead of us that we may be Your faithful, true witnesses in all. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going